Good morning. So our numbers have gotten smaller. This is okay by me. It's funny that I'm sharing about resilience because my opening line is this: I am not a resilient person. I have Googled how to be resilient many times. If you looked at my nightstand, you'd find books and magazines all about how to be more brave, flexible, and positive. This year, we have had our resilience tested, stretched, massaged, questioned, tested again, and I'm always searching for more. Is it resilient to share with a large group of people, I'm not resilient? I don't know. Last November, we put our stuff in storage, we let go of the house we were renting, and we moved to Lima. We are so grateful. It is a treasure of an experience. The views, the service visits into the jungle, the mountains. We had so many incredible meals. We strolled through magnificent lanes of colonial architecture. We gazed on cathedrals as momentous as any in Europe. And we fell in love with the people. Machu Picchu is a miracle. We will hold that close to our hearts. And the test in resilience is ongoing. There are no easy answers. Life is hard. Change is the only constant. And sometimes this year, I felt like freezing. Apparently, there's fight, there's flight, and then there's freeze. That's mine. I just sometimes wanted to hide under the covers. But I think now my working definitions of resilience look like this: the ability to keep moving forward with even a tiny bit of love in one's heart. Maybe some gratitude, even better. Sometimes resilience is the knowledge that we will laugh about this later. I also think it is possible to be resilient and put oneself to bed at the same time. Today I'm going to read from my journal. These stories, I hope, will make you laugh because they're mostly about poop. Also, I think they will resonate with you because this group is very familiar with international travel, travel with kids, SST in general. I know I am preaching to the choir. We are a very privileged group. So here's some stories that you hopefully will relate to. I'm including a few mantras that have helped me from time to time because God is with us, and mantras remind us of this. My favorite is on a church sign on Main Street in Goshen right now: God loves you. Get used to it. Also, I love "this too shall pass," and of course, "all shall be well." Here's an entry from our third day in Lima. Our boys are learning to sit. We've only been here 3 days, and the transformation is evident. At first, they couldn't sit in a restaurant without knocking over stuff, pulling on the tablecloth, craning their necks to see the TV. Already, they're settling in, watching, waiting. They're more reflective, a little more patient. It's beautiful. They are doing okay without many types of toys. We brought one big stash of Lego, which lies like a fire in the living room floor. We gather around it every day. Lego was our haven. Why am I crying about Lego? Oh my gosh. Settle down. Okay. Oh, now I'm going to cry for sure. Chris is blossoming. His prayers are more engaged. He's growing. He's embracing the details of the job: technology, finances, relationships, language. It's fun to watch him pour himself into a project. He wants to do well. I waffle between complete euphoria and mild anxiety, and sometimes high anxiety. I miss certain things about Goshen: our car, our useful backyard, supportive friends, predictable routine, activities that we know. Here we are in many ways more isolated, but for now I think that's okay. We're learning how to be a family, how to have a more harmonious rhythm, work through those tense moments without rushing off to another work appointment or turning on the TV. Here we just have to weather these storms with each other, and it's good for us. We're all too intense, too reactive, too quick to lash out. We need to slow down. Peruvian rhythm equals slow down. Take time to sit, drink your coffee, and enjoy the flowers if you're lucky enough to have them near. Tell a story with more details in it because there's time. Pause. Peruvian rhythm is very important for us to learn. This entry was written right before Christmas. We are in Advent in Peru. We are waiting to feel at home, to find our rhythm. We are waiting for 16 students to join us and make us very busy. We are waiting for our kids to get along. We are waiting how to learn how to walk around the neighborhoods without getting lost. And mostly we are waiting for that special wisdom that comes simply from spending time in a place, knowing where the light switches are, knowing how to navigate public transit and finding the best playgrounds. We want to know all of it, and we are impatient, wondering when that peaceful home feeling will come. Maybe it won't. And maybe that's okay. Thousands of years ago, a tiny family was disoriented, looking for a room, probably waiting for a hot meal, some warm blankets, a good long drink of water. As we take family walks and soak in the warm air and palm trees, it is starting to feel right to wander. Psalm 12, verse 7. You, O Lord, will protect us. Okay. The lows are lower, but the highs are higher. Life on SST with children is intense. Of course, we are not the first to schlep our kids around with hopes of increasing our family worldview. There have been many, many before us. Even our particular Peru unit has seen families of four. I know Bev and Dale went when Naomi and Greta were Jonah and Zachary's age. Families of five and even six. I can't imagine having four kids here. My two are enough. We are now parents, accountants, counselors, trip advisors, teachers, nurses, chaperones to 16 college students. It's hard to keep track of them all, especially when things get tough. Generally, they are very easy to get along with and a rather hearty bunch. They're spunky and hilarious. But sometimes things happen all at once, things beyond our control. Like the week several sprouted rather frightening skin blisters from thistles in a community garden. There's always the rampant diarrhea and complaints of colds and fatigue. It's difficult to discern, is this an emergency or just the need for a soothing conversation? Here's a note from a later journal entry. Our second unit had an epic bout of food poisoning. Seven of them were on IVs in our hostel. The fevers were too alarming, they weren't keeping anything in, and a couple of students had very frightening muscle cramping. It was horrifying. But after 24 hours, they all pulled through and hiked Machu Picchu. There is not one picture from those 2 days. I was alone with the group, and Chris was in a different city with another student in hospital for a different reason. It was unbelievable. But the healthy students were incredibly supportive. They will get very good reference letters from us. And our kids did not get sick. We all survived. And I did not have to make one horrifying phone call to our important parents. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you that are weary. And this one is my own mantra that I believe was a gift from God. Take the rock of anxiety off of your chest and put it under your feet. Okay, I'm good. We have dragged our kids all over. There was the absolutely filthy surfing destination that was supposed to be a break. Instead, we fielded complaints from our grumpy bored kids and braved the horrible smells. The ocean was too wild, the stray dogs were too frightening, it was hard to find food they liked. And of course, there was a terrifying highway drop-off. We were carrying our kids, 3 backpacks, we had a stroller, and literally no idea where to go next in the heat. The heat, the dramatic heat that surprises us all, causes sweat to drip down the backs of our necks, legs, and foreheads. The heat that melts sunscreen and turns mosquito bites into painful mounds. The heat that gave us all sunstroke until a poor local woman gave us some hats. Amazing woman. I bumped into her in the market. She was buying one egg. So I gave her some Solace for more, and she ran home and brought hats. Psalm 116, verse 6. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. We sometimes push too hard, but we're here for an adventure. We drag our kids on field trips where there's always the option to leave them on the bus, out of the heat and away from the stray dogs, the crazy traffic, or the hike they can't handle. But then they watch too much on the iPad and we feel guilty for rotting their little minds. How many times can they ironically watch Ice Age? We've had some epic meltdowns. When their night is too short, when we've pushed them too hard, when the food is too strange, when they have diarrhea, when they've had too much socializing in general, they tell us loud. Zachary prefers airports. He tantrums so hard in the Cusco airport, I strapped him into the carrier and just tried to survive it. I didn't know what else to do. He bit me so hard, he broke the skin. He tantrumed the night we arrived at Jorge Chavez Airport at midnight. No kidding, we were all exhausted. He showed it by throwing his lungs and tiny body at the problem. We were so lucky that they let us through customs and out the door. Another tantrum was hardly a surprising time or place, but it was just so darn inconvenient. At 5 a.m., waiting for the bus to take us up the mountain to Machu Picchu in the rain. Peruvians are surprised at tantrums, or I should say many Peruvians we found to be surprised. We keep seeing these calm kids at their parents' feet in mercados, tiendas, on busy street corners. These kids, I guess, are so used to self-soothing that they don't scream. It's amazing to see several small children peacefully play with one toy or just watch people. I saw one child build the most elaborate balloon bouquet. Some of them have screens, like smartphones or tablets, but for the most part, we watch these kids and they seem to just work it out. I guess they have to, because their parents are very busy. The first Peruvian tantrum I ever saw was at a North American-style mall in the most logical place, in the arcade. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. Here's a story about an evening that we had a very supposed to be easy meeting to talk with a host family. So I brought Zachary with me in a backpack full of toys. The meeting got switched to the host family's house in a neighborhood that I'd not yet been in. Okay, here we go. We got into the taxi with our local coordinator, our student, Zachary and I. We spent about an hour at the family's house. The student decided she really had to move. She'd had enough of an uncle being too friendly. Thankfully, Zachary was quite calm despite the dog, and he played. We waited while she awkwardly gathered her things. We said the painful goodbyes. Lo siento, lo siento. By then it was dark, and I realized Zachary hadn't eaten anything in hours, so I suggested McDonald's. We then began the long walk, me carrying my squirmy, heavy guy, our dear student carrying about 80 pounds of backpacks on her front and back. We ate at McDonald's and debriefed. She was okay. She's excited for her new home. But only after Zachary had spilled a whole cup of orange juice all over everything and then proceeded to take a big poop in the play structure. This was our meeting. I checked the bathrooms. Filthy. No change table. And he wouldn't let me put shoes on him because he was too squirmy. By then, everybody was on the move to go. So out we went into the downtown Lima busyness, carrying my 40-pound son with a full diaper and no shoes, hailing a taxi. Another story. This was from the second time we arrived in Cusco with our second group. Jonah started complaining about tooth pain. Yikes. So we got a referral from a taxi driver for a local dentist, And we decided I would take him while Chris and Zachary took the larger group to their host families about an hour away. So Jonah was complaining of his terrible pain, and we headed out to an unknown destination, me praying the whole way. Jonah said his whole face hurt, and he looked really gray. Apparently, the elevation, which is 11,000 feet, can cause minor tooth issues to become huge tooth issues. As the taxi driver drove through some very dodgy neighborhoods, I was so anxious. What kind of dentist will this be? Is this our chance to truly get to know how some locals live? I have to admit, my anxiety was through the roof. Nope, the taxi driver pulled into a very modern clinic, and I went, we were so lucky. We're always lucky. She was such a beautiful, patient Peruvian woman who had actually been to the Vancouver 2010 Olympics. We could have waved at her. And it was the most painless filling Jonah has ever had. Matthew 19, verse 14, let the little children come to me and do not stop them. Here's a note about the traffic. The traffic is terrifying, especially when our busy toddler needs to run. When we moved there, Zachary was only two. Or when Jonah takes a bike ride. Chris broke down and bought him a bike. It is a blessing and a curse. We live four blocks from the incredible Malecón Ocean Walk. It is heaven on earth. But the challenge is getting there. It is four busy blocks with several terrifying intersections. A six-year-old on a bike is frightening at the best of times. Now we get to cross three lanes of traffic, step over some dog poop, pause in the Meridian, watch for six buses, two combis, four taxis, and then keep going. Also, I'm not as used to carrying Zachary as much as I do here. He wants to be carried all the time. He's afraid of the dogs, and the stroller's just too big. This is a journal entry post Cusco. We came off our week-long trip to Cusco, and there was lots of carrying. One particular walk was really tough. Both children were asleep. It was midnight, and it was raining, and we had to get from the train to our hostel about 20 minutes away. We had four backpacks. Thankfully, our students noticed and carried two of them. I never want our one student to know how much cash he was carrying. Thankfully, we all made it. I think of the refugees carrying their children. It gives me strength. Romans 8, verse 25. We wait for what we do not see. We wait for it with patience. Things change in a minute, completely. Today we went biking as a family. It was so special to bike all four of us along the water's edge, gazing at the wild waves below and the palm trees. The sun was hot, and we were out between 11 and 1, the hottest time of day. We biked far today, all the way to Barranco, where we stopped to have lunch, an amazing little place. Except, here's another poop story. Zachary had a poop, didn't want me to change it, and proceeded to scream in the tiny bathroom. He bit me again. We decided it's time to go. We stayed too long. So we decided I would take the rental bike back with Zachary in the rented seat without a diaper because he refused. And Chris and Jonah would slowly make their way home together with lots of breaks. I finally got back to the rental place 25 minutes late without a wallet. I was supposed to get 10 soles change, but I only got 5 back because we were late. And that was my taxi money home. Yikes. I've never ridden home from that area for less than 7 and probably more like 11 on a Sunday. So here I am again in downtown Lima with a sleeping child, no diaper, and only 5 soles to get home. No cell phone because it burnt out yesterday. I pray, God help me, and I walk up the street in search of a kind taxi driver. I find a guy waiting around. He tells me 6 soles. So I say a little prayer, hop in, lay Zachary down on the seat. I pray that I will find a 1 soul coin in the backpack. My tiny miracle. There it was. I breathe a sigh of relief, sit back in the taxi, and look out the window. We make it home. I lay Zachary in his bed, turn on the fan, and shut the blind. I have to think of the moms who don't have 5 solas, who don't have a backpack with an extra coin in it, who aren't the needy gringa with the blonde sleeping child. Ironically, the women without the money are the ones who don't get the charity. I'm the one with privilege. I even could have probably run into the apartment for more money. The taxi driver would probably wait. And yet I'm the one who found the extra soul. What am I to do with this? How do I move forward? The world is a very different place for me than it is for a poor Peruvian mother. Same sleeping toddler in need of a nap and a diaper, but a different world. So those are some of our stories. It was a life-changing experience. We're very grateful for it, and thank you for listening. I'd like to close with one little image. Lately, I've been walking to the dam, and I love to watch the geese and the ducks, and there's a posture that they take that really amazes me. Some of you have probably noticed this. They will stand and take their morning bath, or they're looking for food, maybe both, right on the edge of the dam. So the waterfall is rushing behind them, but they choose to face the calm pond. All of them, they're facing the calm of the pond, and I think if we can remember to just turn around and face the calm pond, then things will be okay. Amen.